Coming to you live from the Hall of Truth, it's the Nate Darling Show.
Fire a warning shot across her nose.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, relax, good citizen.
Nothing! You've got nothing!
Here's Nate.
Oh, yeah! We're back.
We're back.
We're back.
August is half over. I don't know when that happened, but it happened.
It happened.
Careening toward fall.
Man.
Careening. Coming up on the show today, we've got a lot of Omarosa to talk about.
A lot of Omarosa. There's a lot of Omarosa going on today.
There's a lot of Omarosa going on since Sunday, really. Plus, you know, where you can find Alex Jones, if you're looking.
Hmm.
And we've got something you really shouldn't be doing outside the Walmart in Minnesota. Shouldn't be doing it.
Does it involve a penis?
It might.
Okay. I'm just wondering.
It's entirely possible that it does. Entirely possible.
Or does it involve a person making a very rational, good decision?
Oh, never. For anybody who's heard the show, you know that's not the case.
Oh. Especially not outside of Walmart.
This show is not about people making good, rational decisions. At all. Before we get into the rest of the stuff, WWE or WWF legend Jim the Anvil Neidhart passed away Monday morning. That was quite a kick in the gut first thing on Monday. He was 63.
Not the anvil.
The anvil is no longer with us.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Stop playing, Nate.
No,
you're killing off my childhood one superstar at a time.
I had nothing to do with it. And the Hart Foundation from the mid to late 90s in WWF, only one of them remains. Only Bret Hart. Owen Hart has passed on. Brian Pillman has passed on.
Wow.
Jim the Anvil Neidhart has passed on. And the British Bulldog has passed on.
You're killing me over here.
Only one. Only one.
Did the British Bulldog pass away?
Quite a while ago.
What? Yeah, David Boy died a while ago.
Yeah, that's not fresh.
I don't think I remember him being part of the Hart Foundation.
Yeah, he was a brother-in-law. And it was all part of... He was part of the anti-American pro-Canadian heel faction. So whenever they would go to Canada, they would get cheered greatly, and then in the States they would get booed.
That's funny. Yeah.
Because people were all into it. He had a fall at his home. He apparently has been suffering from early stages of Alzheimer's or dementia. And, he apparently fell and had a seizure, and he didn't make it until the EMTs arrived. So, very sad. He was, 63. Although he did play in the NFL for a bit.
Yeah.
He was a professional wrestler. He was a shot putter. So he's somebody whose body took quite a bit of a beating. And, so 63 is a little bit rougher than 63 on a lot of people. So, another one gone. Right? That was tough on Monday morning to to wake up to that. But anyway, we move forward. This past weekend, we escaped Trump's America. The escape room could not hold us.
It could not.
It almost did. I was starting to get nervous as the clock was ticking down, and we had, I think we got out of there with just a little over 5 minutes left.
Hmm.
So we were able to, the biggest challenge was finding the place.
Yeah. Finding the place in the first place. Yeah.
That was really difficult. it's in Roseville, but, the outskirts of Roseville, and it is in what looks like an apartment complex, but is really some small offices. You first look at it, you go, oh, this is an apartment complex.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh no, there's some offices. And by the road, it just said, it was a little small sign in a group of signs that just said escape room, but it didn't say the name of it. It just said escape room. Like there was a deal on signs that say escape room.
Yeah.
So that's what you got. And it was an interesting time. You two almost came to blows.
No, we didn't.
Well, maybe you didn't.
I wouldn't hit him. I would just choke him out anyway.
Jason was ready to throw down.
I was not ready to throw it. I was just.
Competitive Jason came out.
I knew exactly what I wanted, and Kareem wasn't giving it to me. So my wife, he passed it off to my wife. I think his exact words were like, "I can't work with this guy."
And she's like, "I'm used to it."
Yeah, she's like, "I work with
him." She's like, "I work with him in life." I was like, "Yeah, you can deal with him then. Go ahead."
Well, and we got into the cabinet shortly thereafter, so it worked.
Yeah.
Which was the big delay at that point. If you've done an escape room before, you get the idea. There are puzzles to solve, and you have to get into things to achieve a mission. We had to pack a bag with a certain number of items, specific items from the room, to escape Trump's America and make it into Canada.
Yeah, and we found, like, I found the thing that was in the dresser.
The secret drawer. That was a big thing that you found.
It was so satisfying to find it. Like, to be checking things, like I always check out, like, to see if there's hidden, you know, pieces or levers and stuff like that.
Places to hide your weed, yeah.
Yes, exactly.
That's exactly what it was.
And I found it, and that was pretty cool. And then I got caught up on those presidents, man. Like, they had this puzzle with the presidents, and it was very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And the directions weren't necessarily, like, the best. Like,
well, once we found them, they were okay, but we started trying to solve it before we had
right.
them. And that, basically, once you solved the president puzzle, you were able to open a combination lock that got you into a cabinet.
And that cabinet had, like, three clues in it, I think.
It had a bunch in there. And it was glass doors, so you could literally see them. Yeah. And you're like, God damn it!
Yeah. So, like, added pressure also.
Yeah. And as time was ticking down, it was like, cause I did not want to fail.
Yeah. No, of course. None of us did, right?
I didn't want to come back here on the show and go, hey, guess what? We didn't make it out.
Yeah. I remember, like, at the end, we'd used all the clues. There's only one clue left, and it was the, six iron. And I went over and I was looking at it.
Don't give it away in case somebody needs a thing.
Oh, all right.
But basically, there was one last thing. Jason figured out what to do with the ball club.
Well, I had a bit of it, but it was Kareem's significant other.
Barbara.
Who actually was like, oh, I know, there's this and this.
Anyhow. Yeah, here's what you do with it.
And I was like, oh, I know where that goes!
Yeah. And
it was awesome.
And then we finally were able to do that. Yeah. So, it was fun. Get the Groupon if you're going to do it.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it, find the Groupon. There's Groupons for a ton of escape rooms. That just happened to be one that I found. And, because it was less than half price to reserve the whole room. So I'm like, yeah, do it. Get that done. So it's really funny because you're going through it and you just want to solve it. And I've never been so happy about something that doesn't matter at all.
Yeah. Yeah. That doesn't matter at all.
I mean, if we hadn't solved it, the guy would have just come and said, well, your time's up. You guys got to go. It's not like we would have been locked in there for the next 5 hours.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get to leave until you solve it. That would be a real escape room. Be like, all right, well, how you doing in there? Anybody need to use the restroom? Too bad. Yeah. Should have used it before. Ha ha.
I can see why so many of them popped up so quickly. Because it seemed like all of a sudden there's a bunch around.
Well, it's one of those things like microbreweries that hipsters really enjoy.
Yeah.
And it is. It's fun. It's cool. Like, if you've got an organization, like, I mean, we're an organization.
Yeah.
And that was sort of a team building thing. We haven't done anything specifically where, you brought your wife and Kareem brought Barbara out. I mean, we've done Topgolf and Leslie came with us, but we haven't done anything where it's been a larger group.
Yeah.
So it was kind of nice to do that. And, just a tip for you, at least for the one we went to, you can have up to 8 people in the room. I thought 6 was an ideal number. Ted and Becca had to bow out at the last minute, but eight people might have been a little crowded.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, the good thing about it was having six people, we were each able to, like, pair off with somebody, kind of.
Right. And sort of, if somebody pissed you off, you were able to go, I'm not dealing with you anymore.
That's right.
And go on to something else.
Fuck you. Fuck you up against the wall with handcuffs on.
You know, there was time. I was trying to go around and work with everybody a little bit.
Yeah.
A variety of things like that.
You were the foreman.
I was the floater going from here to there. I felt really useless for a lot of it though.
Yeah, Chris,
because I didn't feel like I was getting anything done.
Yeah, Chris said she felt the same way, kind of like that. She was like, I didn't do anything. I was like, you were fine.
Well, she and I actually used the gears to solve the puzzle, the encrypted code.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. There was a lot that went into that. Everybody contributed.
Exactly. Right.
But you go through stages in the whole thing where you feel like, I haven't done a fucking thing to help here.
Yeah. Or I've just been stupid and doing something that I didn't even know what I was doing.
Like, right? I'm just trying random combinations on the lock, going dirt to dirt. Hey, maybe it's the year Donald Trump was born. Nope. Seriously, that's what I was doing. I tried different things and none of them even close. But yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
It was a fun time. So we'll have to do another, not necessarily an escape room. I mean, I'd totally do it again.
Yeah.
Do another outing, possibly Topgolf again.
Oh.
Hit some balls around.
Oh, balls.
Now, while we were getting ourselves out of Trump's America, Bikers for Trump showed up at the Bedminster Country Club in New Jersey to show their support for our 45th president. There's a weird photo of him, like, behind one of them giving him a back rub and had a weird look on his face. Someone caught this photo of one of the bikers, and you can see, and when I first saw this photograph, I'm like, maybe that's a kiss tattoo. But that's clearly not an I in front of those S's.
Nope.
If you get my meaning, that is absolutely a Nazi tattoo. A Nazi SS tattoo. Those are the good people that showed up to support the president at his country club in New Jersey. Now, granted, I'm pretty sure they were all white, so it was okay. But, it's like, really? Somebody's just like, hey, it's just part of the KISS logo. Yeah, I'm gonna get half, you know what, I only like half of KISS. I only like Ace Frehley and Peter Criss, so I'm not gonna get the KI, I'm just gonna get the SS. That's all I'm getting.
Well, Gene Simmons is a bit of an asshole.
Well, yes, but he is Jewish, so I'm pretty sure he doesn't have anything Nazi on him.
You never know that guy.
I mean, for the right amount of money, maybe. For the right amount of money, he might just do it. Let me find something real quick. I sent you guys, it's probably not going to cast properly when I do it this way. There's the other photo that, oh no, you can see it. All right, good. The other photo from the press conference. It's, come on, load up chat. Load up chat. Sounds great. Okay, there we go. Here we go. Here's the photo. Make sure that cast up there.
Oh yeah.
What is going on here? Trump is doing almost duck face. He's got one hand, he's behind this biker. He's got his right hand on the guy's upper arm, and I don't know, his left thumb in the guy's ass. I don't know.
The guy's looking at him like, what the fuck are you doing?
Now, I don't know if that is the guy with the SS tattoo, but he was part of the Bikers for Trump rally.
You look like you're too close. 10 feet, motherfucker, 10 feet.
You're riding my tailpipe.
Can I say something that I read today about this image?
Sure.
It's doctored and like it.
Aww.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's disappointing.
I know. It's actually the guys from an Oregon rally that was had a couple weeks ago.
Mm. Now, where did you read this? Fake news?
No. It was an article.
Was it an NPR?
No, it was on MSN. And when I clicked through, it was Snopes. It went to Snopes.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Snopes, Snopes knows the dopes.
You know, I could, here's what I'm going to do. A bunch of fucking liberals over at Snopes. What do they know?
Exactly. I'm with you on that one.
So there you go.
But, maybe, I don't know. I've been getting shit from like, you want, can I read, a piece of the email I got today from Trump?
You're emailing him?
He's sending, somebody donated money in my name and said I was a supporter.
That is the greatest prank ever.
It's definitely troll level.
I'm going to do that with a gentleman at work today who was telling me about how Harley Davidson lied and, they were watching Fox Business and the amount of steel in a car, the tariffs are only going to cost like $125 more per car. So then I'm like, okay. And he goes, and I don't watch the NFL either. And I said, all right. Cause they don't stand. I said, okay. What do you want me to do? I'm not going to argue with you.
No.
You know, that, if you don't want to watch the NFL, don't watch the NFL. I don't care.
That's kind of what I said.
I know plenty of effeminate pansy boys who don't watch the NFL anyway. And it's not because of that. Some that people might call a cuck.
Yeah.
They don't watch the NFL. I don't argue with them about it. I'm like, oh, you don't want to watch it? Okay. More NFL for me, I guess. I'm not that excited about it.
So I got this thing today.
Sure.
It's authorized by Trump headquarters.
Sure it is.
Friend. While Democrats are pledging to erase America's borders and let MS-13 run wild,
sure,
I'm asking you to pledge to vote Republican this November.
Mm.
And then it's a official pledge to vote Republican. Please confirm your information below. Sign our pledge. Your pledge will let me know just how many conservatives are committed to showing up to vote for more allies of our agenda. And so that I can show CNN the next time they tell me about the so-called blue wave. I don't see a blue wave happening. All I see is a bankrupt political party led by Nancy Pelosi, disgraced James Comey, and a mob of open border socialists. Like, how is James Comey anybody in the how does he have anything to do with this? But I'm reminded that history is not on our side. The incumbent president's party usually takes a hit during the midterms. That's because presidents get complacent. They lose energy. They forget about their diehard supporters who poured their hearts and souls into winning. I will never forget about you. You elected me to make America great again. That is a pledge I will never walk away from. Every time I'm obstructed, I only get more motivated to fight back. I will work hours of the night. I work all hours of the night until you get at the agenda you voted for. But now I need your pledge to show up in November and elect more allies of our patriotic America First agenda. Win, win, win. Donald J. Trump. Notice that he used the words, though, patriotic America First agenda.
Like, win, win, win.
America First. Like, that is the most blatantly, like, racist call.
But that's what he ran on, America First.
It's like,
I don't know why is anybody shocked by that?
I'm not shocked. But anyhow, I get these emails. I'm fucking bombarded by an email from him, his daughter Laura, like somebody, White House. I get fucking shit all the time.
He doesn't have a daughter Laura.
Laura. I said, it's Laura Trump.
Oh, it must be one of the daughter-in-laws.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, his daughters are Tiffany and, Ivanka.
Yeah. I don't know, man. But somebody, troll level, like, fucking platinum got me.
Yeah, so let me be very, very clear about this. There is a dude with a Bikers for Trump patch.
Right.
And an SS tattoo.
Yeah, that is true.
He just wasn't necessarily at Bedminster. That doesn't mean that there are Bikers for Trump who aren't sporting Nazi tattoos. Just saying.
Right.
Snopes that out. Snopes out. Meanwhile, in the Pacific Northwest, a dude stole a plane?
Because he's played video games. We sent Cairo 7's Deborah Horn to Bainbridge Island to ask an aviation expert if that's possible. Deborah?
Simney, Scott Hamilton says the short answer is yes. But he says there's a lot more to know about flying an airplane than just taking off and getting it into the air.
Not that Scott Hamilton.
It has by now been seen around the world. A Horizon Airlines ground agent flying around Puget Sound in a commercial jet he hijacked from SeaTac Airport.
The whole idea of a loop-de-loop with a commercial airliner is just mind-boggling. So maybe it's part of this air combat type of video game.
Like the rest of us, aviation consultant Scott Hamilton is trying to figure out how Richard Russell learned to fly the airplane. The only clue came from Russell himself while he was talking to air traffic control.
And he said, oh, this is a blast. I've been playing a lot of video games, so I know a little bit about what to do.
I have no idea what kind of video games he might be talking about.
We don't either. But we found several flight simulators online and on YouTube. Hamilton says it is possible to learn the fundamentals of flying from a simulator. Pilots have done it for decades.
You can learn how to take off. You can learn to land. The trick, particularly with an airliner-sized airplane, is what are your flap settings? What's your takeoff speed?
He says Russell indicated that flying wasn't what this joyride was about.
And if that goes good, I'm just going to nose down and call it a night.
Unfortunately, you know, he said, well, you might try these loop-de-loops and then just nose in. Well, that's a pretty clear statement there. And
what does that statement tell you?
He was on his final joyride before he killed himself.
And what does that tell you?
That's some good journalism.
That's some good questioning right there. By the way, if you're thinking about committing suicide, there are places to go for help. Please do that.
Yes.
I'm not going to make fun of this guy, but how in the fuck does one guy, and I know he worked at the airport, but how does one guy steal a fucking jetliner?
I'm like, how do you get cleared to take off?
Did he kill anybody besides himself?
He did not.
He did not.
He crashed into some trees.
Yes. Then, man, like...
if you're around the Seattle, you had to be shooting a brick, because you've got this rogue airliner just doing fucking tricks in midair. What's he going to fly into? Downtown Seattle? Yeah. The Space Needle? Yeah. What?
Yeah, they were... I was watching one report, and the guy was almost in awe of the things that he was doing with the plane. As much in awe as the guy was doing with the plane, as he was upset that the guy stole the plane. The guy that they were interviewing on the news.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they did, there's an Air Force base up there, so they did have two jet fighters up with him.
They scrambled the F-15s, yes. Yeah. So,
man.
Just the craziest goddamn thing. That's absolute nice. Craziest thing.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Well, I mean,
did you just leave the keys in the plane?
Maybe the whole reason that, like, I don't know.
Hey, toss me the keys. I'll park it.
Yeah.
how long ago did this happen? Like, how long, like, this happened?
Friday.
Yeah.
And, like, have they found a suicide note or as, like,
no,
been
they
any
didn't,
postings about
they didn't find like? A suicide note. He was talking.
Yeah.
He was on the mic.
No, I know, but, like, did he say his whole thing, like, on the mic?
Yeah, he said he pretty much said that he was just a guy who was messed up and
didn't have any reason to live and was just
he was just like he was just a guy that was messed up and he didn't really know how messed up he was until he did this or something like that. And
yeah.
Yeah.
And they were trying to get him to land and he's like, oh no, they won't be happy if I try and land there.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna mess it up.
Talk about tighter security measures, like
yeah, maybe let me keep my shoes on, although I have TSA pre, so I get to anyway.
Yeah.
But, maybe stop with the deep tissue pat down of Pamela Wu's breasts and, lock down the planes a little better.
Yeah.
If you follow Pam Wu on Twitter, you'll know what that's about. hey, she tweeted it. I'm just saying. Meanwhile, Omarosa, who got fired, was from the White House, then did Celebrity Big Brother. Well, her book's coming out and she's trying to sell it.
What she calls an insider's account of the Trump White House. But her former colleagues say the one-time reality TV star who rose to fame as the villain in The Apprentice is spewing lies and false accusations. This morning, we have that new audio of a conversation she had with the president after she was fired that includes another shocking claim.
This morning, President Trump on tape. Overnight, former White House aide Omarosa Manigault Newman providing NBC News with this exclusive excerpt of a recording of a phone call she says she received from the president. She says the call came the day after she was fired by the White House Chief of Staff John Kelly, the president seemingly unaware she'd been dismissed.
Omarosa, what's going on? I just saw in the news that you're thinking about leaving. What happened?
General Kelly came to me and said that you guys wanted me to leave.
No, I, nobody even told me about it. Nobody, wow. You know, they run a big operation, but I didn't know it. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Damn it. I don't love you leaving at all.
NBC News does not know what was said before or after that exchange. On Sunday, Manigault Newman revealing she also secretly taped Kelly firing her inside the highly secure White House Situation Room.
Can I ask you a couple of questions? Is the president aware of what's going on?
Don't, let's not go down the road. This is a non-negotiable discussion.
This is a White House where everybody lies. The president lies to the American people. Sarah Huckabee stands in front of the country and lies every single day. I had to protect myself, and I have no regret about it.
This morning, Omarosa unplugged.
Donald Trump is a con.
Once one of Mr. Trump's most loyal allies, a veteran of The Apprentice.
But Omarosa, you're fired.
Every detractor will have to bow down to President Trump.
Now a fierce adversary expressing regret for her role in the West Wing as she attacks President Trump and questions his fitness for office.
They continue to deceive this nation by how mentally declined he is, how difficult it is for him to process complex information, how he is not engaged in some of the most important decisions that impacts our country.
Over the weekend, the president dismissing his former aide.
Low life. She's a low life.
White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders slamming Manigault Newman as a disgruntled former employee, adding, to sneak a recording device into the White House Situation Room shows a blatant disregard for our national security, and to brag about it on national television further proves a lack of character and integrity. In her book, Unhinged, Manigault Newman writes that she was told about a tape where Mr. Trump used the N-word during production of The Apprentice. But on Meet the Press, she insisted she heard it herself, but only after the book was finished.
I heard his voice as clear as you and I are sitting
here.
You
have heard the tape?
I have heard
the tape. Since publication of this book?
Absolutely.
Kellyanne Conway is slamming her former colleague as a self-promoting opportunist.
She's trying to sell books and settle scores, and you've got to be anti-Trump for those to be successful.
So, Peter, has the White House...
So, wait, if you use that logic, mm-hmm. then that means that there's a lot of people that are that are not happy with Trump. I mean, that's what she just admitted to. I mean, if it was the minority... Okay, yeah, that's
right. Yeah. So it's a bunch of liars lying about each other? Who do you believe?
So I sent you guys the link late in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Penn Jillette was in the room.
Oh, I have that.
When he said it. So, and I'm wondering how much money he paid Mark Jacobs not to release that tape.
Mark Burnett.
Yeah.
I think people need to boycott Burnett until he comes out with it.
Because it was rumored during the time that the other tape came out.
And yeah, the Pussy Grabber tape.
Pussy Grabber tape came out. So I'm wondering how much money Burnett got to make sure that didn't come out.
It was interesting because I popped on, Adam Carolla puts his show on Facebook Live and I'm going to get a notification today. And I popped the audio on while I was working. And he did a bunch of dancing around it. He didn't say he didn't hear it. He didn't say he didn't say it. He just like, well, you know, I make racist jokes. If everybody who makes racist jokes is blah, blah, blah. It's like, so you're not coming out and saying that you never heard him say it? You're not, I mean, that would be what you would have to do.
Yeah.
I mean, if you said, cause he was on the same season of The Apprentice as Penn Jillette.
Yeah.
If he came out and said, I never heard him say that. Now, that doesn't mean he didn't say it. That just means I never heard him say that.
Yeah.
Adam Carolla did not say that.
Yeah.
He said a lot of other things.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders didn't even say that.
No. When they asked her, that was the best. When someone said, can you guarantee that we will not hear a tape of the president saying the N-word, she replied, I can't guarantee anything.
Yeah.
Which is the most honest thing she has said since she's gotten that job.
Yes.
Absolutely amazing.
So I can't wait to have the conversation with people, like, with white people that I know that are going to try to say anything, like, try to even walk, like, about how that in any way can be acceptable. Like, you know, I mean, like,
they don't care.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, like, wait, I'm going to face, like, I'm not going to let, this is, you can't let it pass. This is not pass. If that's,
so, Omarosa.
Mm-hmm.
Trump did not learn anything from any of the black people that he hung around with about black women. He learned absolutely nothing.
No.
He learned absolutely nothing.
I saw a lot of people saying that this doesn't matter. Omarosa still has permanently forfeited her black card.
Oh, she has. But that doesn't mean that she's not going to burn this shit down.
Oh, yeah.
I know neither one of you probably ever saw this movie, but there's a movie. It's a black movie with Angela Bassett, and Angela Bassett was a star. It was one of
How Stella Got Her Groove Back.
No.
I'm just guessing.
It's the one before that.
Okay.
By Terry McMillan.
How Stella Lost Her Groove.
No, this bitch burned the car. She burned the Jaguar with all his clothes.
Yeah,
in.
I know that. Oh, that was the one with Whitney Houston in it.
Yeah,
too.
Whitney. Yeah, it was like an ensemble cast.
I worked at the movie theater when it
of
came.
Black
out.
Women.
Listen, Lisa Left Eye Lopes burned down Andre Rison's house.
Yes.
Yeah.
Accidentally, because she thought she could throw all of his clothes in the bathtub and light it on fire.
Right. That was what he did not get. That's what General Kelly did not know when he decided that he was going to fire. Like, he thought he was slick. I'll take her in the Situation Room and fire her so she doesn't record it. No. That chick has proof. Anything that she says in public, she has proof of.
And here's the other thing about that, and here's why I will agree with Sarah Huckabee Sanders, which I really hate doing. The whole idea of the Situation Room is that it's secure.
Yeah.
Anybody hacking into a cell phone is not that difficult. Anybody who has hacked into Omarosa's cell phone could have record, because if someone hacks into your phone, especially if you're talking about a hostile foreign government, they can start recording everything the microphone in that phone picks up.
Hey, he still has his phone.
Yeah, because he's an idiot.
So you can't even talk about Omarosa's phone in the situation.
Oh no, he's absolutely set the terrible example
because he has his phone,
the unsecured phone.
But this is the deal with look, Omarosa went in there, making sure she had her shit covered.
Yeah.
On her way out.
Yeah. Well, she knew when she went in she was going to have to burn it down and leave in less than 2 years.
No, but I'm just saying. This is me giving you information.
Mm-hmm.
This is her train of thought going in. She was going to protect herself because she knew that somebody in there was going to be after her. So she has shit on everybody in there. Trust me on that.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely do.
She has shit on everybody in the White House that she dealt with.
Look, I watched her on Celebrity Big Brother, and she was telling me, because somebody went up to her and was like, should we be concerned about, or is everything going to be okay? Please just tell me everything's going to be okay. And she goes, oh, no, you should be really, really worried every minute of the day.
Yes, she is going to burn that. Look, she is going to Lisa Left Eye Lopez the White House.
The movie, by the way, was Waiting to Exhale.
Waiting to Exhale.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She's going to Waiting to Exhale and Lisa Left Eye Lopez the White House. Donald Trump, he should have fired anybody else in the administration.
Or have her leave and have it be her idea.
Yes. Anything like that you did not fuck with her.
Mm-hmm.
You should have did that.
Well, and clearly Trump wasn't down with firing her because Kelly headed that off at the pass. Does the president know? And here's the thing. the White House staff works for the chief of staff, not for the president.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have to run it by him.
Yeah.
But which is weird, but understandable.
He should have talked to some black man that had been somewhere with him.
Let me explain to you why that's a problem. Kellyanne Conway this past weekend was asked who is the most senior black Trump aide now that Omarosa is gone. And Omarosa has been gone since January.
Yeah.
She was taken by surprise by the question. She said, African American? And the interviewer said, yes. She then brought up Housing and Urban Development Secretary Ben Carson, who is the sole black member of Trump's cabinet. And the question was then, who is there in the White House staff right now? She said, and we have Jerron, who's done a fabulous job. That refers to Jerron Smith, a mid-level aide, who was previously an advisor on urban affairs and revitalization policy, and back in February was appointed to the position of special assistant to the president on domestic policy. She was then asked, does he have an office in the West Wing? And she said he had an office in the executive office of the president, but not in the West Wing. And the question was then, what does that say to not have a single senior advisor in the West Wing who's African American? And she said, I didn't say that, but there wasn't. But hold on. There are plenty of people. If you're going to by that and not by the actions of the president, which you probably should, then you should look at the fact that we have a number of different minorities. And the fact is, this president is doing well for all Americans. And then she went to the lowest unemployment level for black Americans.
But the highest incarceration rate.
it's still twice what it is for whites.
So, Omarosa is the reason why there's no more black people in the White House.
Well, she was the only one anyway.
No. She was the reason why they didn't. Okay, so Michael Steele and a couple of other people had been on a committee that was supposed to give them some names of black people to be in the White House besides Omarosa.
Sure.
Omarosa was like, no, I am the only Negro in here.
and you let it slide.
But yeah, so if either one of you get a divorce,
I've already had two, thanks, I'm good.
And you decide to marry a black woman, just make sure that it's not one that's vengeful, and do not fuck her over, because she will tear your shit down.
Well, let me tell you something.
I lied to a black woman I was sleeping with once, and every single time she got drunk, she wanted to kick my fucking ass.
Yes.
Like every time.
Yes. I'm telling you, bro. Look, I went through my 20s not even telling girls where I worked at. And you only knew where I lived at if we were serious. Because they will show up at your job and act a fool. So you... I've seen it too many times. And don't give a damn that you're going to get fired.
You had it coming to you. By the way, this is the theme song from Waiting to Exhale. Exhale, Shoop Shoop by Whitney Houston.
Because sometimes you'll see the clip of Angela Bassett burning this shit, setting this shit on fire and walking away. Yeah. That's what you're about to see.
Well, I'm good. I've already had my two divorces, Jason.
Oh, I'm good. My dad's had enough for me and my children.
Okay, there you go. Meanwhile, Alex Jones has been banned on a lot of social media, but not on Twitter.
Huh.
Because he allegedly has not violated their terms of service. So he's are you laughing at his tweet or the reply?
The first reply.
Yeah, it's quite good. Alex Jones tweets, I'm not afraid to die. I'm afraid to live on my knees in a world run by lesser men who control the destiny of my children. I want to take a moment to remind people that Alex Jones has lost custody of his children because he's a fucking maniac. At that trial, he then told the judge that it was just an act that he was doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
because that served. But yeah, he doesn't have control of the destiny of his children because he doesn't have custody of them. if you're going by character, there are no lesser men than you, sir. You are the most lesser of men.
Yeah, so it's their own fault, but yeah.
And the response that got Jason was the first one that said, "Sir, this is an Arby's." You know, I think that goes for pretty much any response to a rant like that. See, and now I want Arby's. I'm just gonna say that amused me. Let's see what Alex Jones has been up to. The pinned tweet wants you to download the InfoWars app because that's pretty much the only place you're gonna hear him bloviating about stuff. Let's see. Okay. Here's something from News Wars, which I'm sure is affiliated. Hold on, breaking. He has proof that Trump did not say the N-word. It's on the TV. Let me stop casting it for a second so we can actually hear him.
For mass shootings and an up.
They now have put a banner that says banned over the InfoWars logo to make them seem like martyrs, which is amazing. Let's see.
Their lawyer said it was racist to hold them. Said that they were allegedly training for mass shootings and an uprising to kill police. Vimeo said that when I reported that it was fake news and banned me 2 days ago. I am sworn to defend this republic.
He's not. He's not sworn in any way, shape, or form to defend this republic.
In any way.
He's not taken an oath. He's not a member of any active military or police unit. He is not the president of the United States. He has absolutely no duty to defend the republic.
I don't think he understands, too, that by him trying to give, him giving credibility to something loses its credibility.
that's where we are right now. So you remember the whole Pizzagate thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The alt-right has a new target in the Pizzagate, type situation. Cause they like to claim that everything is some sort of child sex ring.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing because they are obsessed with child sex. I have definitive proof of it and that I just made it up. they have a new target and it is, Voodoo Donuts.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. They've gone after Voodoo Donuts. I have to scroll down on my friend's feed to find the actual story. There we go. This is from UpRocks. Portland Donut Shop is at the center of the next hashtag Pizzagate. Voodoo Donuts. This guy alleges that he went to a party at, YouTube user Michael Whalen, aka Vegan Mikey, I already don't trust him, allegedly attended a party at Voodoo co-founder Trey Shannon's house. There he claims he witnessed, quote, the abuse of children going on, and over the course of an approximately 80-minute interview, he says that when he expressed his disgust at the alleged child abuse, fellow partygoers turned on him and even sent him death threats. Then why didn't you immediately call 911?
Yeah.
Why didn't you record it on your phone?
He's lying.
Exactly. Mm. He's insane. He even claimed the alleged pedophile ring is directly connected to Comet Pizza, the target of Pizzagate. By the way, they were allegedly running a child sex ring out of the basement of a pizza parlor that did not have a basement.
Yeah, that's like a Pee Wee Herman joke, guys.
They are a Pee Wee Herman joke. And that they are masturbating in the theater of their own mind.
Oh, man.
The Donut Gate theory, let me throw this up on the screen for you guys so you can see, because this is not on the show prep. This is the worst, the absolute worst maze I have ever seen. At the center of it is Nazi Germany, the Pentagon, OSS, and the CIA. There's a lot of arrows. Area 51 is in there somewhere, for some reason. Rome, Islam, although they're not close to each other. Atlantis made it to the graph.
Oh, really?
I'm guessing the hotel in Reno, but maybe it's the mythical undersea city. We don't know. Yahweh is in there.
Wow.
Monsanto, Pizzagate, Google, of course, made it because why wouldn't they? The military, Dwight D. Eisenhower in the military industrial complex. By the way, he's the one who warned about the military industrial complex. And Donald J. Trump is also in there somewhere. And at the bottom it says, follow the white rabbit. Sir, I think you might have already followed the white rabbit a little too far. Just a little too far.
I want that on a shirt.
Follow the white rabbit?
No, that just that diagram.
No, you don't. Because someone's going to ask you about it.
Actually, I will follow the white rabbit on a shirt.
We can do that. We could do podcast shirts that say follow the white rabbit. although I don't necessarily want to be associated in any way with these people. All right. I've had enough of all of this white nationalist stuff. Let's go to the sad, sad tale of a very clean white girl.
Oh.
That's right. After getting collared early Saturday for drunk driving and speeding and pot possession, Lauren Cutshaw gave South Carolina cops a list of reasons why she should not face charges. She's 32, and now according to the Bluffton Police Department report, she explained that she had perfect grades her whole life. She graduated from a high-accredited university. She was a sorority girl. She was a National Honor Society member. She was on honor roll. She was a dancer. Her business partner is a cop. And, of course, she was once a cheerleader. And if that didn't convince you that she should walk on the multiple misdemeanor charges, Jason, she closed with, I'm a very clean, thoroughbred white girl. I'm a white, clean girl. Foreigner then responded, I'm a dirty white boy. Dirty white boy. Dirty white boy. Dirty white boy. When a cop asked what that had to do with anything, she reportedly replied, you're a cop, you should know what that means. And then she added, you're a cop, you should know based on the people that come to this room.
Yeah.
In dash cam footage released by police as she was being driven to jail, she told the cop she was a valedictorian who went to a good school, graduated with a 3.8. She also spoke of receiving scholarship and having never been previously arrested and being a 4.0 student. Well, which was it, bitch? An All-America cheerleader. She also told her apprehension about getting locked up, saying, I don't want to know what it's like. I'm a pretty girl. Please don't make me go in there. This will surprise you. Not at all. She's a real estate agent. She still ended up in handcuffs. Despite that pitch for freedom, she claimed to have only consumed 2 glasses of wine, but registered a .18 on the breathalyzer, more than twice the legal limit. She lives in Bluffton, about 10 miles from Hilton Head. She was released from the county jail Saturday afternoon, scheduled to appear in court October 30th. So we'll keep an eye on that.
Wow. Man. She's
a very clean white girl.
She has one hell of a hangover. yeah. Man.
I'm a very clean... Kareem, what do you think of the very clean white girl?
Take your punk ass to jail. I bet she really is clean with all of the alcohol she consumed.
And the weed. Don't forget the weed. Meanwhile, it's time for the tale of Kyle Thomas.
Oh, tell me about him.
Kyle Thomas was a Mississippi Hospital employee.
Hmm.
Until he was recorded doing a racist donut shop rant.
What?
He's a radiology tech from Mississippi. He's been fired from his job after he was caught on video using the N-word multiple times while screaming at a black woman in a donut shop.
Didn't I just warn y'all about that 2 minutes ago?
Omarosa. What are you doing? All right, let's get rid of that for a second so that we can hear him yelling. Because, you know, I think that's the important thing that we actually, you know, we're all about shaming people doing racist things on this show. As our motto is, don't be an asshole. Let's listen to Kyle at the donut shop. Let's listen to, there we go.
I hope you don't deal with children.
Or you can have them in the bag.
Shut your fucking mouth.
Who are you talking to? I will throw
you're
something.
You're a child. Shut up.
You're a son of a bitch. That's what you are. You don't speak to me that way.
Whoa. I think that's what you were warning us all about, Kareem. Right there. You do not trip. Talk to me like that.
Oh, gosh. He turned the switch. No. Well, and this is the thing. Omarosa is going to do this on such a, oh my God.
Oh yeah. In front of the world.
Yes.
The world. So at this point, he is exasperated. He turns and walks away. Now he's not that close to her. There's a counter between them. There's plenty of space. There's no physical danger. He is turned because he's clearly frustrated, as he has probably not encountered this sort of sass, that Kareem insists is, standard with a black girl. But clearly, and he hasn't even dropped an N-bomb yet. So let's go back a little bit just to hear that build up.
Who are you talking to? I will throw
you're
something.
A child. Shut up.
You're a son of a bitch. That's what you are. You don't speak to me that way.
Whoa.
You're a son of a bitch. You don't speak to me that way.
No. She already knew where he was headed, so
his response, he's like, whoa.
Whoa. And then he turns and collects himself.
I will be back talking about
it. I don't care. You don't speak to me that way.
You're a nigger.
Oh, I'm a nigger. Oh, now I'm a nigger, and you're a bitch. Say it again.
Nigger.
Say it again.
Nigger.
Say it again. I'm gonna get his head. I'm going to get his tag number.
Now she's going out to get his license number.
That tag number. Do something.
Hi.
Let's see. What's your tag number?
Oh, you just don't know what you're up against, dude. Now, she has a friend at the DMV who's going to run his license plate number, going to tell her who the fuck you are, and now you don't have a fucking job.
Yeah.
Dumbass. This is the shit that you're up against. Remember, I've told you guys this before.
You don't know the power you're dealing with.
You do not know what you're fucking with. You have no idea what you're fucking with. She called her friend at the DMV. She got his name.
Or the police department.
Or the police department. Got his name, mm-hmm. his address,
mm-hmm.
all that shit before the end of the day. Look, mm-hmm. by the time he got to wherever he was going, she had all of that.
Yeah, and she was already at the hospital with the recording.
Yes. See,
you're like, do you see what he did?
Yep. She already had all that shit.
Oh, Kyle.
You just did not. No. No. Just leave it. Look, just leave it alone.
Well, Kyle's an idiotic racist. Yes. So
just go get your donuts somewhere else. If you come in with that, just go get
Here's
your
the thing. He would have been fine if he hadn't tried to mutter the N-word.
Yeah.
He had to mutter the N-word, and that, you know, he probably could have called her a bitch.
Yeah.
Probably could have called her a bitch, and she would have been upset, but she wouldn't have gone to get his tags.
Yeah. She might have threw something in his coffee, or she might have gave him something extra with his donut. But,
well, he was already gone. Yeah. I don't even know if she worked there, but he was already gone. He was out the door, and he muttered the N-word under his breath, and she's like, say it again.
Yes.
Three times.
Stupid asshole.
Kyle.
You know what? Here's the thing. I don't want Kyle. Maybe Kyle spent too much time around radiation.
Yeah. He might have.
That's what's up. Now, a federal judge has ordered the continued detention of an Oregon man who was recorded last month taunting a bison in Yellowstone National Park. Judge Mark Carman ruled that Raymond Runke, who's 55, would be locked up until at least August 23rd for the bench trial at the Yellowstone Justice Center in Wyoming. He's entered a not guilty plea, but he's on camera. In denying bond, the judge ruled that there were no conditions of release that would reasonably assure the safety of another person or the community or guarantee that the Oregon man would show for future court hearings. Declaring that the evidence against him was strong, the judge noted the defendant faced incarceration if convicted. Additionally, He has a prior criminal record, a history of alcohol or substance abuse, and a lack of stable residence or employment. Ha. By the way, this was not his first brush with the law at a national park. Oh, no. In July, he was busted for being drunk and disorderly at Grand Teton National Park in Wyoming.
Yeah, he had a whole, like, alcoholic binge across America. Like, from Oregon
it's,
there.
It's the way Teddy Roosevelt envisioned the national park system. He then was cited at the end of July for failure to wear a seatbelt while in the passenger seat of a vehicle, where he appeared intoxicated and was argumentative. And then later that night, Yellowstone Park visitors reported that he was harassing and hurting bison. Which is video we've all seen. So.
And then the dude kept doing it and got picked up at a hotel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's an idiot.
Oh man.
No doubt.
Awesome though. Good for him.
Yep, it really is. All right. So we are all for calling out racists.
Of course.
Videotape it, throw it out there. It makes for great fun for all of us and causes them great shame. And we're not the only ones. Because Soledad O'Brien is now encouraging journalists to call them out.
It's okay to call things out. It's okay to say something that is a lie is a lie. We don't need to call it a verifiable untruth or one of those other silly euphemisms. We can just say it's a lie.
Can we get you to do a clap?
Sure. This is my favorite part. Here we go. Here's your clap. I have assigned myself the job of the Twitter race correspondent. It doesn't pay any money, unfortunately, and you're busy all the time. You know, I often on Twitter talk to journalists because I feel like they drop the ball at times. The job of a journalist is not to, like, well, let's wrap it all very nicely in a package so we don't offend anybody. I don't care about that. And I think sometimes reporters do some sort of gymnastics to make sure that they're not saying this sort of uncomfortable, unpleasant thing. Nobody likes to use the word, you know, white supremacist, you know, rhetoric. But that's literally what this is. This is not subtle, and it's not, well, maybe you're not understanding it. Some stuff is just racist. When someone uses the N-word, that's not a racial comment. That's a racist comment. And I think it actually is important to call out. It's a crazy time. And people are not afraid. They're very bold. People have been very emboldened in their racism today, which is troubling. And I think that is correlated to the administration. I think that's correlated to a lack of sort of decency and a really terrible rhetoric around just human beings, how we refer to people, how the president refers to his opposition, certainly politically, and just people he's decided that he doesn't like. It's kind of disgusting. So I'm not surprised that people have been emboldened, because I think they feel the tenor in the country is that, you know, racism and racists have been emboldened.
Can't disagree.
Well, y'all keep going to all these famous people to tell you the shit that I tell y'all on a regular basis.
Look, because she is a journalist, and she's telling other journalists to go ahead and do this. Now, I've heard the counter argument, and there is some merit to it, that you can report that somebody says something that is racist without calling them a racist, per se. Because you don't necessarily know, like, if somebody says something that isn't true, you don't necessarily know if they meant to lie, so you report that what they said isn't true. That's one of the counter arguments. I get that, but I'm closer to her side with this.
Go ahead, Jason.
What? I'm waiting for you to defend somebody.
No, no. I'm not going to ever, like, hey, when
no.
It was,
so, and like I've been saying, this started during the Bush administration, where the news was trying to be fair,
mm-hmm.
and they stopped calling people on shit that's real. And that's where this started at, and they need to get back to telling, you know, like, fuck, if you lied, you lied. If you did something racist, you did something racist, and they need to call people on it.
We're in the midst of, like, I'm more and more convinced every day that we're actually in the midst of a civil war, like, that's actually never been lost or won, and that the Confederates are in office right now. Like, that's pretty much what it seems like is happening, that's gone on here, because,
so
supremely, like,
so
what's been happening is that people like me have been saying, hey, this is what they're doing. And people have been like, ah, they're never going to do that. They're like, hey, this is what they're doing. You better pay attention. And they're like, ah, it's never going to get that far. You're crazy. It's not going to get there. Guess what? We're there.
Hi, we're here.
You're here.
Are we there yet? Yup.
Yep.
Oh yeah, no, we're there.
And now everybody else, now everybody's like, oh my God, I can't believe this happened. Like, we told you what was happening. They had a concrete plan to do this. They've been, this has been in the works for, since, fuck.
Well, the big change happened from what I, when the Christian Coalition came in the early 80s,
I just saw the article that I just reposted that said the same shit that I've been saying. You can blame all this shit on Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't know, Kareem posts a lot of articles while the show's going on.
Yes.
So if you don't hear him talking for a couple of minutes, check his social media.
Blame all this shit on Ronald Reagan.
He's dead now. We can go ahead.
The only reason we have really strict gun laws in California is because the Black Panthers, you know, stormed the White House to demand. The state capitol here in California. Right. Like the
Daily Coast. That's who it was. Ronald Reagan ruined America. That's their headline.
The Daily Coast is sort of a left-leaning website, which is fine. Everybody knows what the Daily Coast is. It's not a down the middle news organization.
No.
So there's definitely going to be a slant to their reporting. Alright, let's move on here.
Florida. Land of enchantment. And crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
Headline, Florida man 24 strips, performs exotic dance inside Japanese steakhouse.
Yeah, that sounds like a winning night.
Meet James Dylan Jordan. Mm. Well, a married couple was out enjoying a Sunday evening at a Japanese steakhouse when a tipsy Jordan began to undress and dance erotically in front of the female half of the duo. That's according to the police report. Distressed by his impromptu striptease, Jamie Carpenter, who was accompanied by her husband Christopher, advised Jordan to leave the Kobe Japanese Steakhouse in Clearwater. In response, Jordan became belligerent and began calling her fat and threatened to fight her spouse.
Was the guy's name really Christopher Carpenter? Christ Carpenter? Yeah, sorry.
Thanks for stopping the flow of the show there.
Sorry.
It's all right. It's all good. Get rid of that music.
It ruined it.
Yeah, it's a screeching halt. Well, screeching halt.
Only everybody knows. Brake check.
Brake check. Yeah, and there was no safety arm on that either. Jordan was subsequently arrested by the county sheriff's office for disorderly conduct in an establishment, which is a misdemeanor. He was freed from the local jail after posting $150 bond. His rap sheet includes multiple convictions for possession, sale, and trafficking of narcotics, including cocaine and oxycodone. The criminal complaint does not further describe his sexy dance. Also in Florida, a Florida man charged with trying to force KFC employee to reopen a restaurant at gunpoint. A 27-year-old Florida man charged with attempting to force a Dover KFC employee to reopen the store. According to the police, Antonio Stevens of Orlando approached the 38-year-old victim as she waited for a ride out in front of the fast food restaurant at 11:15 p.m. back on August 5th. After demanding she open the store and being informed that she had no ability to do so, he demanded her personal belongings and pointed what appeared to be a handgun at her. Then there was a struggle, and he left empty-handed. Arriving officers were able to track him down and take him into custody following a brief struggle. They found a mask and a BB gun that he used in the incident. Charged with first-degree robbery, wearing a disguise during commission of a felony, and resisting arrest, He was committed to the James T. Vaughn Correctional Center in lieu of $6,500 cash bond. Hmm. Is it racist if I point out he was African-American?
Oh, we already knew that.
No one else wants to talk about that bad. Promises at the beginning of the show, Minnesota police responding Saturday to a 911 call about a van parked in front of a Walmart entrance. They discovered a man performing oral sex act upon his wife, who was reclining in the driver's seat. When the patrolman approached the running vehicle around 9:15 p.m., he spotted Chantel Ney, 32, laid back in her seat with her pants down and exposed from the waist down. The van, police noted, was situated in front of the main entrance of the Walmart Supercenter in Mankato.
What?
Not in the back corner of the Walmart parking lot. No, no, no. There they are.
Damn.
He deserved to get caught.
The van's other occupant, Frank Ney, 32, was also exposed with his shorts down to his knees. Officer Steve Hopp reported that Ney had leaned across the center of the vehicle and was performing an oral sex act upon Chantel Ney. The cop knocked on the van's window and yelled for them to stop, according to a probable cause statement. He reported that both parties seemed out of it, though. He could not smell the odor of alcohol. The cop added the duo was visible to the public. Chantel was groggy and lethargic, cited for driving while impaired. Frank charged for indecent exposure and violating a November 2017 court order barring him from having any contact with Chantel. Apparently she didn't mind.
No, she didn't.
Not if he's going to do that.
That's probably the deal.
Mm-hmm. Frank told police that his wife, who does not have a valid license, drove to Walmart because he had been drinking. Also, Frank added that she wanted to give him head while he was in the passenger seat. Well, that would have made it difficult to drive.
Yes, that would have.
That's roadhead done wrong. That's what I'm talking about. All right, enough of you, Flo Rida. At least for now. At least for now. All right, it's time to wrap this thing up.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
Kareem, you missed out. You were just in North Dakota.
Yes. Mm.
Did you get to see the new statue of Willie Walleye?
I did not.
Well, it's been a popular attraction in Baudette, Minnesota. I mean, I know that's not North Dakota, but it's got to be right over the border there. Just say it. Willie Walleye. Look at that thing.
I need a human for size.
I mean,
for scale.
Do you? That's a big fucking fish. That's a big goddamn fish. That's what I'm saying. I could do it. It's a big goddamn fish. What's really funny is if you pull into the village of Orleans, Rouen, which is where I'm from, they have what looks like a granite headstone, but it's not, with a rainbow trout carved into it. because they have the little falls where the trout will jump up to go upstream there.
Aww.
It's not just salmon that go upstream, by the way.
Hmm.
It's important that you know that.
Now I do.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what they say.
Knowledge is power?
Or it's... Yeah. It's half the battle.
Oh, hold on. I have to answer questions here to get through the rest of this.
Oh.
All right, let me get this. In the past 12 months, have you contacted or visited a public official at any level of government to express your opinion?
Hmm.
Yes, Twitter. In the 2012 presidential election between Barack Obama and Mitt Romney, did things come up that kept you from voting, or did you happen to vote? I voted. In the 2014 midterm election, it's a little late to ask about that. Did things come up that kept you from voting, or did you happen to vote? Yeah, I voted. That was it. All right. Well, that was worth it. Thank God.
Thank goodness.
Thank God I was able to answer those questions.
It's probably the Trump camp trying to figure out how they can get people to stay home.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's really the Grand Forks Herald making sure that you're not a bot using up all their bandwidth.
Mm.
It's what's going on with that. All right. Back to the walleye. A new Willy Walleye statue in Baudette, Minnesota has been in place for more than a month, and a dedication event set for Thursday, August 23rd in the Northern Light newspaper. That's what they reported on their Facebook page. Constructed by a Wisconsin company, the new fiberglass model of Willy Walleye replaces the 60-year-old concrete version of the 40-foot, 2.5-ton icon that was showing severe wear and tear. The new statue, Jason, will hold up better to the elements, was set into place on July 9th, and has been popular among both locals and visitors. That's according to Joe Henry, the executive director of Lake of the Woods Tourism. The statue is the centerpiece, of course, of Willy Walleye Park, which is right along State Highway 11 in Baudette. For days after they put it up, there were people nonstop, carloads of people, Henry said. It's up and it's rocking. That's the end of the story.
Yeah.
The author of the story is Brad Dawkin. I don't know if he's related to the band Dawkin. He looks a little young. Maybe he's...
Does he have a man bun?
No, I think that's a toque, Jason.
Oh, it's a toque, okay.
Yeah, it's just a toque.
But he does have a bear in his bears.
Ooh, he joined the Herald Company in November of 1985 as a copy editor for Ag Week magazine. Wow.
Wow.
He's that's got to be an old picture of him with those bear cubs.
Yeah.
His picture is him holding two bear cubs. Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, small town news, everybody. All right, well, that's going to do it for us. Remind you again, if you're looking to support the show, the best way to do it is to do your Amazon shopping through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. It kicks a little money our way and doesn't cost you anything extra. Also, please tell a friend. Share the show on social media.
Yeah, click through.
Let them know we cuss. Don't want any surprises with the kids in the car. They were playing a clip where that gentleman was saying the N-word.
Mm.
Yes, we were.
Yes, we did.
You know why? Because people say the N-word.
And you need to be able to know that they're racist.
You need to know that it's not just something that's made up.
Exactly.
Oh, no one says the N-word anymore. Certainly not someone in scrubs with a name tag. Idiot.
Jerk.
In Mississippi, well, I guess in Mississippi you think it's okay.
Yeah.
They don't exactly have the cleanest of records. Just since the National Lynching Museum is there.
Oh, before we sign off.
Yes.
One last Omarosa thing.
Oh.
Omarosa says, Katrina Pearson said he said it. Katrina Pearson says, that is an absolute lie. Then almost immediately, Omarosa releases a tape where Katrina Pearson says he said it. So the N-word tape does exist.
And with that, we will bid you adieu. See you on Friday with another fresh new show.